Our job is to help provide you guys with as much direction as we possibly can. So, Corey Beth, would you like to get into our first question today?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
Today is an Ask Us Anything episode, and many of you have sent us some questions over the past several weeks. We also have questions from those who are in our coaching program that we thought would be relevant to come on here and answer, since our job is to help provide you guys with as much direction as we possibly can. So, Corey Beth, would you like to get into our first question today?
Let's do it.
All right. So our first question comes from Tisha, and it is how to deal with people who are food pushers, people who are always offering or giving food that's not on your eating plan.
I love this question because it's so real life, and I'm going to answer it in two ways. First of all, when we change our habits because we're making an effort to be healthier or eat differently, it's going to make some people uncomfortable. And I think if we can go into it with that expectation, we will feel better about when this situation comes up. Now, for the people that are being food pushers, I think that there's two categories. I think some do it inadvertently, like, hey, I'm eating cake. We always eat cake together. Would you like a piece? And all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm not eating cake anymore. Come on, just have a piece with me, you know? And then I think that there's the sabotagers. And it's funny, we were chatting with a family member last night. I was like, my husband is the biggest sabotager ever. I told him I'm giving up sugar and he gives me M&Ms for Valentine's Day. She's probably laughing, listening to this. But there's people that do it intentionally, you know, and it's because it's just the way that they are. They're set in their ways. This is what they like. This is what they're used to. And your goals, not that they don't matter to them, but they don't matter to them. You know, it's just what they're used to. And so when we approach this, I think honesty is always the best way to approach it. We don't have to be weird or funny, like, oh, like I'm not really eating that right now, or like, thank you so much, right? Because when we accept it, it encourages that person to give us more of that thing. I think alcohol is definitely a big one here. Like, come have a drink. I'm not drinking alcohol, but just have it. Okay, fine. I'll come out for one drink. We have to say, hey, listen, thank you so much for that invitation, or thank you so much for this gift. This is actually not on my plan right now. Like, thank you so much for this, but this is not what I'm eating right now. Thank you so much, but I actually have a really big goal coming up and this is just not part of it. You know, and I think what it does is it sets the other person at ease that we're not trying to be offensive to them, but also we're being honest in the reason why we're pushing that thing away, and it'll minimize the number of re-asks of that person. You know, if we give like a weak answer, like, I'm not going to have alcohol today, I don't think, they're going to come back and ask you tomorrow and the next day and the next weekend and the next party and the next everything. But I think when we could be honest and say, I'm working towards this thing and that's not part of my plan right now, likelihood of them coming back and offering it again is less.
A very simple way of answering it that I often do is, I'm getting ready for you. It's not as bad as you think.
Okay.
It's just a very simple, like, thanks, I'm good.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of opportunities for me going out with, you know, guys after games and such, and them asking like, hey, we're going to have some beers or whatever. And I'm like, no, thanks, I'm good. You know, and that's it. You just leave it at that. Now, maybe it's a little bit different. Guys don't usually care or push. It's more like, oh, you're not having anything? No. If we are being totally truthful, I mean, I will be brutally honest with people and I will just tell them the reason why I'm not having it. Like, I'm not putting that poison in my body.
Oh my
God.
That's how you lose friends.
I mean, and I'm okay with that too.
I know you are. I think for women, you know, this is a woman that's asking it. We've never had a man ask this question. And so for women, it's, I think, being clear about our goals and being firm in our answer. We can't be wishy-washy. It's just, that's fine. We could say, I'm good. Like, thank you so much, but I'm good. I think graciousness is important. And then firm honesty is the second.
Thank you.
Do you say thank you?
Yeah, I say thanks.
Oh, wow.
I'm good.
Okay. So, well, then I guess we have the same answer. Moving on. Number two comes in from Pamela. And Pamela writes in with the question, I need help keeping a strong mindset. Sometimes I want to stop, so I want to just give context, animal-based eating and move to flexible. So at Pure Physique, we have nutrition pathways, and she's basically saying she wants to go from one pathway to another pathway, and she's asking for help with that mindset.
I think it is very important to give some context here that, you know, again, personally, we believe in eating as close to a carnivore diet as a person could possibly eat. But then we also recognize that for some people, making that leap from a standard American diet to eating full-blown carnivore is just not going to work. So we would say that eating flexible would simply mean you're eating whole foods. You're allowing for the full spectrum of all types of foods, but they're just whole foods, non-ultra processed junk food, basically. And so with regards to this, you know, I think it's an awesome question because it's a very real situation. Some days I'm really good about sticking to my plan or going down this path. And then other days I just don't want to reside there. And I think what's cool about this is when you give people options along a spectrum and say, hey, doing this end of the spectrum may not necessarily be the ideal for you, but it's also not going to be harmful. That gives them a little bit of leeway, just enough to say that, okay, I'm going to do my best to stick to this way of eating, but if I'm really feeling it, I'm not going to go off the deep end. I'm not going to fall off the wagon. I'm just going to do a day or do a meal eating this other way that, for all intents and purposes, still aligns with my goals and the direction that I'm trying to move. So I think that, you know, it's not about needing to have a strong mindset or having to willpower your way through a particular way of eating. It's more about understanding that there is a spectrum and that if some days you need to be on one end of the spectrum and other days you're great to abiding on the other, that's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, for those maybe listening that don't know what our flexible plan looks like, you did a really great job of explaining it. And what I want to say is for 15 years of running our studio, that was the plan we put people on. It was basically pulling out processed stuff, white sugar, white flour. So it is still effective. It's just over that period of time, 17 years, we found more effective ways of eating. We found more sustainable ways for people to stay on track and not deal with sugar cravings and stuff like that. So the beautiful thing about this is you have lots of options. And so to your point, we don't need to box ourselves into one way or another. All right. Our next question comes in from Diana, and it has to do with sweets. So she says, I'd like to hear any ways to help break sugar cravings. I love sweets, and especially after a meal, I always crave something sweet.
There's actually several things that we can break down from this question. The first one that I want to point to is having cravings after you've eaten a meal. And I know I've personally experienced this. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced this as well. You can sit down, have almost an entire full dinner, and then still look for something after dinner is over. In fact, you want to sit on the couch and you just want to veg out and snack now, even though you ate. And the first thing that I want to point to is one of the primary reasons why that happens is because A, we did not eat enough at that dinner. And then B, we did not hit our nutrition quotient for that meal. So here's what I mean specifically, is that our body is very nutrient sensing. And when our body senses that it has not gotten all the nutrients it needs, this is when we get triggered for cravings. This is when that hunger really starts to set in, because our body is trying to tell us something. It's saying, I need more nutrients and I need you to go find them for me. And if we're eating a very nutrient deficient diet, it keeps us in this negative feedback loop of our body sensing that I need more nutrients, so I'm going to give you these cravings so that you go searching for them. But what do? We do not provide ourselves with nutrient-dense food, and now the cycle just continues on and on and on infinitely. And this is why it's so difficult to break these cravings sometimes. This is also why we are such proponents of eating a very high-protein, animal-based diet, because we know that when you're eating those animal meats, you are providing your body with the highest percentage of nutrients in their most bioavailable form. And when you eat that way, the chances of you feeling these cravings afterwards are very low. In fact, just as a quick aside, we just sat down a little while ago and had eggs and bacon. And we had whole eggs, we had a bunch of bacon. And did you feel the need afterwards to go and eat anything else?
No.
Neither did I. And I also remember sitting down for meals where it would be grilled chicken salad with olive oil. And then after I was done, I'm looking for a protein bar, something sweet, because that just didn't do it for me. And, you know, looking at those two different types of meals is very interesting. I mean, the eggs, right, having a sufficient amount of eggs, about 5 or 6 of them, along with this side of bacon, you know, number one, the fat also helps tremendously in cutting down that craving for sweets. And then knowing that the food that we're eating is very nutrient dense, of course, our bodies are not seeking anything else after that meal.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, the grilled chicken over salad, I always wanted a protein bar after that. And it is interesting. It was grilled chicken breast with lettuce, leafy greens, and all sorts of, you know, accoutrements in there. There were onions and carrots and olives and everything else. But yeah, I mean, there was probably a whole lot of fat that was missing from that, in addition to other nutrients. I'm going to add one other thing. I think that there's a nature nurture argument here as well. And so if you're a person that wants to have food after you've eaten food, I think we have to consider what has not just the nature piece been that Mike has beautifully painted out, but what about the nurture? Have you always been a person that has a meal, especially when you were a kid, and then maybe you have to have dessert after that meal? Are you a person that's used to or habitually used to doing something like eating and then needing your piece of chocolate after the fact? And so if we can start to look at those habits and patterns, I think probably in a situation like this, it's really helpful to say, oh my gosh, ever since I was a kid, I always got ice cream after my dinner. When I finished eating this, I got that. You know, we've actually conditioned ourselves into that habit. And so we just simply have to decondition ourselves back out or replace that extra thing with something else, like a walk, a cup of tea, an exercise, movement, you know, being out in the sun, whatever it is that you need, but to put something else there instead of a bowl of ice cream or a piece of chocolate.
And to break that craving, the easiest way to do it is to not have it available.
Yes.
I mean, if it's not there, you can't have it. And what continues to feed our cravings is feeding ourselves those things. And it's just interesting that, you know, just with 3 days of not having sugar, a person can immediately start to lose their cravings for sugar. After about a week, they almost have no desire. But the key factor is making sure it's not there. And I like that, you know, this was positioned as I feel this way after a meal, because we usually don't feel this way unless it's a meal that's later in the day, such as dinner. And part of the reason for that is decision fatigue. Over the course of a day, we make tens of thousands of decisions. And just as I was saying, we have a nutrient quotient, we also have a decision-making quotient that once we hit that tipping point, all of a sudden our ability to make good, smart decisions, logical decisions, drops off dramatically. And when does that occur? Well, at the end of the day, when you are done making decisions, now all of a sudden you decide, you know in your mind that logically it doesn't make sense for me to go and have this sugary sweet after I've avoided it all day. I made good decisions throughout the day. It was available during the day. They had it at work. I decided to walk past it. But how come we can't do that when we're home? And it's because of that decision fatigue that sets in. So the key factor here is just making sure it's not there. And if we can give ourselves 3 to 7 consecutive days without it, then the ability to break it, I mean, it becomes, I hate to use the word easy, but in many ways it is.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Our next question comes from Heidi.
I'd like you to take a deeper look into what I'm doing, because I'm finding that following this way of eating, I'm actually starting to gain some weight. I usually eat eggs, burger, steak, chicken, ham, bacon, turkey, elk, venison, and use butter for cooking. I mean, that right there sounds amazing. I have 3 cups of coffee with whipping cream and or half and half during the day. I also have cottage cheese or hard cheese. For my treat, I have Greek yogurt. I do intermittent fasting, eating at noon or 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. I drink water and seltzer, occasionally unsweetened tea. At night, I have herbal tea. Once a week, I have an adult beverage, an old-fashioned, my kind of girl. I haven't had any sweets at all or carbs. I do the exercises, I'm working on my sleep, and I've been doing better, but sometimes don't get enough. why am I gaining weight? So this was great. When this question came in, first thing that I had to do is check Heidi's chart and see what has been going on with her body weight. And the first thing that I noticed is that she's actually dropped body weight. And what she was referencing was an increase of 2 pounds over the course of 5 days. But looking at Heidi's patterns, I also noticed that after a big drop, she always has a little bit of an increase and then it drops again. But that being said, this is still something that comes up for people all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're following a carnivore diet, because a carnivore diet is not a guarantee of fat loss. Yes, a lot of people experience tremendous amount of fat loss on a carnivore diet, and they'll point to the fact that they're no longer counting calories, that this is really easy to follow, and it's just working for them. And then you do have people on the other end of the spectrum, albeit a smaller number, that still see an increase in body weight. So the question would be, why? As we've highlighted many times before on this podcast, calories actually do matter when it comes to fat loss. So for some people, going to a carnivore diet actually helps them eliminate all the foods that are very calorically dense. And because this also helps to better control their appetite and their cravings, they just, in general, start consuming fewer calories. But then there are some people who some of these foods that they're eating on a carnivore diet are still very calorically dense. And I wanted to point out just one thing that probably most of us would have missed in what Heidi said, which is, I have 3 cups of coffee with whipping cream or half and half during the day. The reason why I want to highlight this is because I went right into nutritionix.com. It's just a site where you can plug in different foods and get the macronutrient and the calorie ratios of these foods. And I put in heavy whipping cream and I put in 2 tablespoons. So 2 tablespoons of heavy whipping cream adds up to just over 100 calories. So we'll just round it to 100. If you put in half and half and you put in 2 tablespoons, that adds up to just under 40 calories. So about 35 calories. So think about this for a minute. You have a 65 calorie difference in whether or not you have half and half versus heavy whipping cream in that coffee. And then you do that 3 times in a day. You're talking the difference between about 100 calories in total for half and half and 300 calories if you're doing heavy whipping cream. So 200 calorie difference. If you do that 5 times in a week, that's an additional 1,000 calories that you're consuming over the course of a week.
You're literally blowing people's minds right now.
It's crazy because we think that we're doing the right thing. And although we are, we can still be over consuming in calories. And this is why I'm such a proponent of eating the same foods initially for several weeks before you start adding other foods in. If you were doing half and half and then suddenly one day decide, you know what, heavy whipping cream, it's a little bit richer. Let me go with that. But you're not adjusting for the amount that you're taking in. You can quite easily be at 1,000 plus calories extra per week without changing anything else. And guess what? If we do that over the course of 4 weeks, that's going to add 1 pound of body fat potentially. And that's why even though we don't necessarily need to count calories all the time, it is good to be conscious of this. I saw a meme that was online and it was a picture of avocado toast. Obviously, we're not proponents of avocado toast, but the meme was very telling because at first glance, you looked at these 2 pieces of avocado toast next to each other. They looked nearly identical. The difference was the one on the left had just a little bit of a thinner spread of that avocado compared to the other one. And the difference was about 230 calories between the two. So if one day you are buttering your bread one way, and then the next day you're buttering it completely differently, that could be a significant increase in the amount of calories that you're consuming. I think back to the funny story of when you and I actually first started dating.
The peanut butter.
The peanut butter story. And it was in the middle of the day, and I went over to your house, and we were going to have a midday snack.
We were, yes.
And so at the time, I know this is going to sound like blasphemy to all my carnivores out there, but we were in that bodybuilding phase. And it was rice cakes and peanut butter.
Yes.
I mean, that was a staple in terms of a snack.
And I was so impressed that I had that quote unquote healthy snack to be able to offer my fitness boyfriend.
And I laughed when you took your
two rice cakes.
You took your two rice cakes and I saw you go in for the peanut butter.
It was probably like two ice cream size scoops of peanut butter onto my rice cake.
And all I could think to myself is like, God bless this girl that she's able to maintain a semblance of her figure snacking that way or having that much peanut butter. Because then you took a look at mine and mine had this very thin sliver of peanut butter that probably only took up about 2/3 of the entire rice cake.
I remember looking at it and I'm like, why does he eat so little peanut butter? That's so weird. Rice cakes and peanut butter are so healthy. They're good for you. But I think that's the mindset a lot of people have. It's healthy. I can have as much as I want. There's still calories in it.
And that was the benefit of, at that time, of tracking calories, because you started to see and know and understand like, oh my gosh, just having one more tablespoon of that peanut butter is going to add another 120 calories. Yeah. It's going to add another 8 grams of fat.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that doesn't sound like much, but in the big scheme of things, when we're fixated on fat loss, absolutely, those calories add up. So hopefully, you know, this helps someone also who's thinking about the way that they eat on a daily basis and they're eating all the right foods, but maybe we are over consuming some calories. All right. So moving on to our next question. The next question came from Kristen, which is, I'm struggling with getting all my fat quantities each day. The amount of fat intake is excessive from what I've been learning over the past few years, and I'm having a hard time shifting my mindset that this is okay and healthy for me. Two parts to that question. I mean, number one, I'll take the second part, which is really, is this okay for me to be eating fat? And I think that we've had enough guests on this show who have completely debunked this idea that, you know, eating dietary fat is bad for me. So we're way past that. Let's get into the struggling with getting all my fat quantities each day. And I think this is, you know, it's the exact opposite of what we saw with Heidi, right? We had Heidi, who's probably having a really easy time hitting higher fat quantities. And now here's Kristen struggling with getting enough fat each day. And of course, I had to go in and take a look what's happening on the charts. And we see that, well, Kristen's had a pretty significant fat loss over her first couple of weeks. And the first thing that I want to point to is that if you are coming from this background of standard American diet or simply low fat eating, even the same way Corey Beth and I did when we were bodybuilding, it is a struggle initially to think that it's okay to be eating dietary fat. And that being said, we shouldn't try to force ourselves to eat more than we're comfortable with. I know that I did not start off consuming even half the amount of fat that I'm now eating, because my mindset was still, I need to be under 50 grams of fat per day. And now here I am, I'm supposed to be consuming 140 grams per day. Like, I could not wrap my head around that. And so it's not something that you should force yourself to do. In fact, I would just ease my way into it. And here's the benefit of doing that. In Kristen's case, why did she see this big drop in body weight? Well, it's because she's still eating a little less fat than maybe her body really needs, but that's also putting her in that caloric deficit, which is making it a little bit easier to lose body fat. And in the absence of dietary fat, if we have the fat on our body will just go into stored fat to provide for what it needs. So there's this idea that, you know, fat is nothing more than an energy source, but it is also where we store our nutrients. So if for a long period of time, we have all this stored body fat and we're eating less fat, even though we're eating high protein, well, our body's just going to keep tapping into our stored fat to provide the energy as well as extract some of the nutrients that have been stored away. So I don't find this to be an issue in terms of struggling with fat quantities, especially when just getting started with a carnivore type diet. I think that there is some benefit, especially if we have the fat to lose, to just ease our way in and not force the issue.
Yeah, I think this definitely is also a mindset thing. And I think for you know, I'm going to say like millennial, Gen X, Gen Y women that were part of that 1980s fat-free craze. It is a mindset to be able to be okay with it. And I think the thing that made me okay is in what you said, fat is an energy source. Fat's an energy source in the same way that carbohydrates are an energy source. And I think for a woman who has been consuming high carbohydrates and has been able to maintain a lean body composition, you know, feel good, have good energy, stabilize her weight, to literally switch energy sources, it's a mind game. You know, and I think that if we understand the science between the fact that our body can't simultaneously burn both fuel sources, the carbohydrates are preferential, they'll be burned first and then the fat is burned. It's the absence of those carbohydrates gives way for us to be able to consume fat. And I think that knowledge and information is really important, especially for a woman that's struggling with like, oh my gosh, if I eat this fat, am I going to get fat? Because that's what I thought. And I struggled with that for a long time. But for me, getting rid of or limiting the amount of carbohydrates I was consuming that gave way for me to consume more fat, I found over time that I felt more satiated, happier, more fulfilled. My body composition really did not significantly change. I mean, I still maintained a very lean body. And, you know, it goes back to like, we have to experiment or try it in order to really see what happens. But I would just offer that to a woman that's like, I don't know if I could do that. We're eliminating one fuel source to prioritize a different fuel source.
Yeah. I mean, those are all great points. And it's very interesting that during this period of time in which we had been encouraged to eat higher carbohydrate, lower fat, people have continued to get fatter. And one of the primary reasons outside of just the fact that we're eating more ultra processed foods, we're eating foods that our bodies were not designed to consume. It's the overconsumption of carbohydrates that our bodies cannot use, which ultimately leads to those carbs being stored as fat. So even though we may have this concern that, oh, I'm eating fat, I'm going to store this fat. Well, actually, if you're doing the same thing, if you eat carbohydrates, especially if you're eating them in large quantities, it's like your body is just going to convert those carbohydrates that are not being used, store them as fat, and that on top of all the fat that you're eating. So, you know, in the big scheme of things, it's like if you dramatically reduce the carbohydrate intake and allow your body to become fat adapted, your body will just do a better job at tapping into that stored fat as energy, as well as the dietary fat that you're consuming.
We hope that these answers were helpful for you. Of course, if you have a question, we'd love for you to submit it. And answers to questions like these are exactly what we cover on our weekly Momentum call. So if you're interested in a membership or working with us, I encourage you to go check it out and hop into one of our programs. And if not, keep on listening here on That Fitness Couple. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose. Just cut that, Cappy.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.